present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've heard, we have our three regulars, Clement Freud, Kenneth Williams, and Peter Jones. And we welcome back, after a few weeks' absence, Alfred Marx. I'm going to ask them to speak on some subject without hesitation, without repetition, without deviation, if they can, or at least keep going until they're challenged. And we're going to begin the show this week with Clement Freud, and the subject, Clement, is the Parisian Latin Quarter. Would you talk about that for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
Well, I'm very pleased to talk about the Parisian Latin Quarter, because the Latin Quarter in Tunbridge Wells, or that in Wigan, would be a very much more difficult subject. In the Parisian Latin Quarter, you see people...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. Why do you keep saying Parisian?
Because he did.
Why shouldn't he?
Because you did. Yes. Oh, is that the wrong pronunciation?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so you were sending him up?
No.
Oh, I see.
What would you say?
Parisian.
All right, then. Would you talk, please, now, Clement Freud, for another 46 seconds on the Parisian Latin Quarter, starting now?
It's full of people like Alfred Marx who wear the same clothes from 1 week to several times later. And hunchbacks...
Alfred Marx, a challenge.
Not only repetition, deviation, as they were also libelous.
You've been in that suit for weeks and don't deny it.
Put it to the audience.
But no, no.
Was he or was he not?
Ladies, would you please judge, when Alfred Marx was here last time, would you please, if he was wearing the same clothes, or think he was wearing the same clothes, would you please cheer for him? And if you think he was wearing different clothes, would you please boo for him? And we all do it together now.
Hooray!
I think it was a draw. I don't think they have any idea what you were wearing, but
it was
I'm
a draw.
Sure.
The drawers are the only thing I'm wearing.
That's where he's got us. We don't know what he's wearing underneath, which may be different. So, Alfred, you have a challenge which is correct, and so you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of the Parisian Latin Quarter. There are 37 seconds left, starting now.
Paris is a most beautiful city, one of the loveliest in Europe, and one of the nicest areas of this city. Is the art the...
Clement Freud.
The
repetition of city.
Yes, there was more than one city there.
Well, having not gained that point, I can tell you now I am wearing the same clothes I wore there.
God, the release, the relief at home with all those people hanging on their sets about Alfred's underclothes and worried about it. Now we can get on with the game. Clement's got an extra point for a correct challenge. He has 30 seconds left on the Parisian Latin Quarter, starting now.
What worries most visitors to the Latin Quarter is, where are the other 75%? Because quarter means that elsewhere would be a half and yet another quarter. People have gone all over the capital of France.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, the people were worried before, and the people going over the whole of France.
There were different people.
There may be, but you repeated the word, which you can't do in just a minute. There are now 13 seconds for Peter Jones to talk about the Parisian Latin Quarter, starting now.
But it's really a kind of French Soho, and very cheap to live there. I stayed for a few days in a very... a sleazy hotel, and was actually burgled in the middle of the night. A man opened the door and went through the back.
I'd have thought, Peter, if you were burgled in the middle of the night, you would have made it very expensive. Yes. Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle
went.
Well,
I didn't have much to steal, because I was wearing the same clothes all the way through.
Anyway, Peter Jones was speaking when the whistle went, so he got the extra point. He's in second place now behind Clement Freud. Oh, that was the first subject, wasn't it? So at the end of the first round, Clement Freud has a lead of one over Peter Jones, who has a lead of one over Alfred Marx, who has a lead of one over Kenneth Williams, who has yet to speak, as far as I can remember. So, Kenneth, will you start talking now? The subject is cherubs. Can you talk on those for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, in mythology, there was accompanied by seraphs, and the plural is cherubim and seraphim, and they were attendant on the right And
Peter Jones.
Must be hesitation.
It must be right. There are 46 seconds on cherubs with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, they're rather boring, I always think.
Kenneth Williams is
not boring at all. They're delightful, the chubby faces as painted by Titian on those incredible ceilings in the Palazzo in Venice are only...
Kenneth... Why don't you save it in case you get in a game with a correct challenge? Because that was a wrong challenge.
I'm challenging now. It's deviation.
No, I disagree.
They're not boring. Titian's painting cherub theory. And you can't call Titian boring.
To Peter Jones, they can be boring because he can say what he likes, providing he doesn't deviate.
Well, you might as well say this radio program's boring.
I've heard it said.
Don't.
How dare you?
Shouldn't put ideas into their heads.
So, Peter, you didn't deviate from the subject of cherubs, whatever you may say about them, so you have 44 seconds to continue with 1 point for an incorrect challenge, and you start now.
For me, they always appear to be overweight and obese. These great cheeks, you know, jowls and great fat bottoms and knees.
Kenneth Williams.
Fat, hesitation.
Yeah, there's a hesitation. Mm. There are two greats as well which you missed. There are 35 seconds on cherubs starting now.
These beautiful creatures, which have been the inspiration for artists, especially during the Renaissance period of modern Europe.
Peter Jones.
Some kind of hesitation there.
No, I don't think he hesitated. No, he keeps the subject after an incorrect challenge, and there are 27 seconds on cherubs, Kenneth, starting now.
A source of continual delight, not only on canvases, but blowing from those rosy cheeks, the various winds which were pictured on the old illustrative maps for navigators, so that it went to north, east, south, or west as the little cherub blew. I ran out.
You did it? Oh. I thought you saw Ian Messiter put his whistle in his mouth and you thought, well, this is it.
Oh, was it nearly there?
Yes.
Oh, what a shame. What a rotten shame, isn't it?
2.5 seconds to go, that was all, and Clement Freud challenged.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, well, he gets it then.
All right, so hesitation, 2.5 seconds, Clement Cherub starting now.
I had a gomphotic schoolmaster who...
Well, you had two opinions there about cherubs, and Kenneth Williams got some points, so did Peter Jones. Alfred Marks, it's your turn to begin. The subject is croquet. Can you talk about that game for just a minute, starting now?
What a lot of balls have gone through hoops on an English lawn in the summertime. If Tennyson didn't say that, he should have done, because what a wonderful scene to hear the click of hammer upon the wooden spheres on a beautiful day in the countryside. A game that's so peculiarly English, and yet I don't suppose it is. It probably...
Peter Jones.
A repetition of English.
42 seconds with you, Peter Jones, on croquet starting now.
Well, it's a wonderful spectator sport, because there's very little hooliganism at these games, because the people are usually too old to actually do very much, except hold the mallets very gently and just push the balls through these tiny hoops. I understand that there is some kind of crookery goes on among the players who are transferred from one team to another at modest sum, for modest amounts, like £3.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of modest.
Yes, you were too modest.
Yes.
Mm. What were the modest amounts of which they're transferred?
Oh, about £3.
Oh. Plus VAT.
Yes.
Clement Freud, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject of croquet. You have 11 seconds starting now.
E.P.C. Cotter, who incidentally taught me Latin at school, was once the croquet champion of Great Britain. A pleasant, plump... You right, too. You believe that. You believe anything.
Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is carpentry, Peter, and there were 60 seconds starting now.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they said they were a great start-it-yourself enthusiast, which is not the same as the do-it people, because usually the people get tired.
Kenneth Williams.
The causeur. I'm afraid it was a
confession. Yes, I'm afraid so. There are 48 seconds for carpentry with you, Kenneth Williams, starting now.
Well, I was watching a man saw this door, and I... noticed that he raised wood to his nose And I said, here, what on earth are you up to? And he said, have a smell of this yourself. It's marvellous, the flavour of this wood, the savour, the flavour, well, I mean, the flavour of
Peter Jones.
Because it was actually pine, you see, and pine has the most marvellous flavour when you saw right through it.
Is it about flavour or smell?
Smell is fabulous.
Oh, the smell of any newly covered is beautiful. Ooh. One of the most exotic smells. I'm mad about it.
Isn't it?
You
go
it's like rolling in the new mown hay.
Oh, yes. Smell of pine and eggs.
There are 30 seconds for Peter Jones after that little diversion to talk on the subject of carpentry, because he had a correct challenge a little while ago, starting now.
Well, you have to have a bench with a vise on it, and a plane, saws, chisels, hammers, and the idea is to get a piece of wood of one shape and attach it to another of a dissimilar type. And in some way, either with a dovetail joint or glue, screw or nails even can be used for this purpose, to make a table or some modest thing in a house, like a chair or a window. And if you can contrive...
I thought that was very funny. He said some modest thing of the house, a chair or a window. Have you ever tried making a window? It's very complicated.
Yes, I know, but it can be done. I'll explain if you like.
But not modest. I've done it. That's why I know it's not a modest thing.
Well, you're not very modest.
Peter Jones, you kept going. They didn't challenge you. You got a point for speaking when the whistle went, and you've taken the lead alongside Clement Freud at the end of that round. It's Clement Freud's turn to begin, and the subject is muffins. Would you talk on that one, Clement, for just a minute, starting now?
Muffins was the name colloquially given to the muffin men who roamed the streets in the 19th century, forcing people against their will to join the army or the navy. And generally, the citizens of towns and cities in this country were terrified late at night and seldom kept their doors open.
Kenneth Williams.
This is a load of rubbish. These men sold muffins. They didn't press. They weren't press gang men at all.
Press gang, that's the word I was
press
searching.
Gang. They were simply selling their own muffins.
But if you keep going with enough confidence and style,
I mean
they don't always challenge you.
No.
But the subject is muffins, so Kenneth has a correct challenge, and there are 37 seconds. He kept going quite deviously for 22 seconds without being challenged. Muffins, Kenneth, starting now.
Alas, this delightful 18th century dish, the buttered muffin, has not survived in the way that the crumpet has. And in my youth, I recall gentlemen ringing a bell and joyfully crying, muffins!
And Alfred is challenged.
Why? How dare you? You're a guest on this program. You have the audacity to challenge an old age resident.
I'm just curious to know how he knew so much about crumpet in his youth. That's all I'm asking.
All right. Alfred has a point for a good challenge, but Kenneth wasn't deviating. He keeps the subject, and there are 23 seconds left, Kenneth, starting now.
The muffin was square, as opposed to the crumpet, which was round, and always perforated in this tiny, minuscule fashion, so the butter became saturated.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation. The butter became saturated.
You're trying to do impersonations of me, mate.
No,
there is a point.
You do them so well yourself.
Peter, you have 9 seconds on muffins starting now.
It's one of the principal ingredients of a favourite dish called Eggs Benedict. Now, you have to add eggs, and I think it's
Alfred Marks.
Repetition of eggs.
Yes, he got in very cleverly as a newcomer with 1 second to go, and the subject is muffins, Alfred, starting now.
As someone who was...
At the end of that round, Peter Jones has taken the lead. He's one ahead of Clement Freud, and Alfred and Kenneth are equal in third place. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, Hannibal. Would you talk about him for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
I would prefer to discuss someone civilized, but since it's a barbarian, Hannibal came from Carthage, which, of course, we would now call North Africa, and did cause a tremendous amount of trouble to the civilized community. We would now call the Republic. A kind of Rome. And over the Alps, of course, he went, as legend has...
Peter Jones.
Repetition of course.
Yes, I'm afraid so. And, Peter, you have 32 seconds on Hannibal, starting now.
Yes, well, he had this famous journey over the Alps with these elephants. I'm never too sure how he managed to get them up the sides without the aid of ropes and so on. He may have had them. Who is to know? And there was a film, I understand, about this extraordinary feat some years ago.
Kenneth Williams. Yes, all right, Kenneth. 12 seconds on Hannibal, starting now.
The rulers of Republican Rome, the period, were...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of Rome.
Yes, and Republican Rome, too. There are 9 seconds on Hannibal starting now.
If you eat other people and can't pronounce your C's, you could very easily be called a Hannibal.
Clement Freud has taken the lead, one ahead of Peter Jones at the end of the round. And we move to Alfred Marx to start the next round. Alfred, a nice one for you. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. Would you talk on it, about it, or take it as your subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Oh, how many comedians have started their act with a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. In fact, very rarely does anything funny happen to anyone on the way to the studio, except today. A man stopped me in the street and said to me, "Pardon me, would you give me 2 shillings for a bite to eat?" And I said,
Kenneth,
if he said to you today 2 shillings when we've gone over the metric system, I find this very odd.
He was a very odd man.
Well, it's...
I didn't mean the metric, I meant the decimal.
43 seconds for you, Alfred, after an incorrect challenge to continue on. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio, starting now.
A funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio last week, in fact. This was another man who came up to me and said, "Would you give me 1 shilling for a cup of coffee?" And I said, "A coffee's only threepence." He said, "Yes, but I like to tip big."
Peter Jones, you challenged.
A repetition of shilling.
So 30 seconds with Peter Jones on the subject, starting now.
Yes, I can remember getting on a bus and producing a pound note, and there was some fuss about the change. They didn't seem to have any, and I think, well, London Transport has got all these hundreds of thousands of buses.
Alfred Marx.
Well, I would dearly love to know what this has to do with the funny thing happening all the way.
Yes, you didn't establish, Peter, and you were going for nearly 13 seconds without...
I think he was on the way to tell another lousy joke like mine.
I established that I was on a bus. You must admit that.
Yes, but it was a 49 bus, which goes nowhere near the studio.
I didn't mention...
No, I don't think you established, Peter, in the time that you were talking, that you were in the close to the subject. So Alfred has a correct challenge, and he has 13 seconds on a funny thing happened on the way to the studio, starting now.
Leaving the studio after a funny thing happened on the way to it, I met Peter Jones on the bus. And Peter said to me, "Can you lend me 1 shilling?
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of Peter.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So, Peter... I should have said 18 seconds before, because there are now 10 left for Peter on the subject, starting now.
Well, I would like to establish that this particular boring bus was on its way to the studio, and I was
Clement Freud has challenged.
Is this a private game, or can anyone join in?
You can join in.
They both seem to have said bus at least
yes,
10 times.
And so, Rather Clement, large you...
Can I give it to my friend Kenneth Williams, because I'm running it.
You're passing our time.
Oh, he never travels. He doesn't want to travel by bus, you see.
Kenneth, you have 5 seconds on a funny thing happened on my way to the studio, starting now.
Well, it did happen. This lady said to me, "I can do Singing in the Rain, but I'm not going to." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because it's not raining."
You got the point for speaking when the whistle went. You have moved forward. You've overtaken Alfred Marx. You're 1 point behind Peter Jones and 2 behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud and Peter Jones. Your turn to begin. Subject, parsnips. Can you talk about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
I can remember so well seeing these vegetables in huge marquees at agricultural and horticultural shows, long, 2 or 3 feet in length, some of them, with a very thin, hairy extremity, and the top all fleshy and yellowy, sort of creamy
Clement
colour.
Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
What? Yes.
He's talking about carrots. Or...
Not fleshy. I could never describe any parsley that's fleshy.
Really?
It's hard and solid and firm and upright and noble. It was my nickname at school. Parsnips with you, Clement, starting now.
When I decided not to marry Gladys, after all...
What was the challenge, actually?
Deviation.
We were called just 2 parsnips who passed in the night. And that is very much how I like to think of her, lying there in Wolverhampton, miserably sad, waiting for the University Grants Commission to send more money and help both of us to live a better life than we had any right to expect. But if you boil them for not very long, having scraped them previously, and mash them with butter, and pile them onto a toasted muffin, then there can be no more delicious savory to brighten your evening.
Boiled parsnips on a toasted muffin. But he's kept going. They didn't challenge him, and he's increased his lead at the end of that round. And, Clement, we're back to you again to start. The subject's ambrosia. That's rather apt after the one we've just had, isn't it? Would you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
Since Gladys and I split up, there has been very little ambrosia in both our lives. I have gone on to greater things, and she has moved to homemade rice pudding. Saying that it was altogether creamier, better, and more nutritious. The vitamin count, let alone the calorie content, not to mention the cholesterol level, of the product produced in her own kitchen, rather than obtained from opening a tin or container.
I'm glad somebody challenged Alfred.
Oh, yes, I mean, hesitation.
There are 19 seconds on ambrosia starting now.
It depends on one's peculiar aversion. As I have 2 rice pudding, I do not like that dish. However, ambrosia are many things to different people. For example, my definition of ambrosia is egg and chips. I push the hen's product.
All I can say is how much our contestants have debased the food of the gods, ambrosia, down to rice pudding and egg and chips. Clement Freud, you did well again. 3 ahead of Peter Jones, and you're 4 ahead of Alfred Marx and Kenneth Williams, who are equal in third place. And, Alfred Marx, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is my goldfish. Can you tell us something about him in 60 seconds, starting now?
My goldfish are buried in my garden because I've had no luck with this particular type of pet. I have snails, I have tortoise, I even have crabs, but I have never had any luck whatsoever with the goldfish. We keep them in the bowl, we feed them steak, chips, eggs, all sorts of ambrosia. Nothing seems to work. In the morning, there they are, floating on their side, helpless, and how nice they would be with a plate of fried potatoes, however.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Well, I think he'll be in trouble with the RSPCA for cruelty to goldfish if he's giving them
well,
egg
so
and
what is
chips.
Your challenge?
Deviation and...
No, he wasn't deviating, but he did repeat himself, which you overlooked, so Alfred right. keeps the subject and he has a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 33 seconds left, starting now.
My children are heartbroken each time one of these poor little fish die because they dearly love.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Die. He repeated the word die.
Yes. And Peter, you have a correct challenge there. You now have 27 seconds to talk on my goldfish starting now.
Well, my goldfish also passed on or was called before or whatever it is that you happens to goldfish when they haven't been fed right or the cat gets
at them. Kenneth Williams is challenged.
What a dreary funeral recital of these deaths of all these fish. I think it's dreary.
It might be
dreary, but
dreariness is no objection in this game. No, as well you know, in fact, you probably know better than anybody.
Well, I haven't said anything for ages, and I feel I'm just getting trampled on and left out of things.
I know, but you look quite pretty sitting there. Now, let me continue with this saga of the goldfish.
Well, you made your point. I quite agree with what you just said, Pete. I'm going to say much the same. And you have 17 seconds to continue on my goldfish, starting now.
I always wanted a much larger aquarium because this round thing that it was in wasn't really large enough and did, in fact, cause a fire hazard because the magnification of the sun's rays through the bowl beside the goldfish was often...
Well, there was Peter struggling gamefully through to the end, and a little generosity on the part of the others let him finish with the whistle. He got an extra point for doing so, and now I will give you the final situation, because we have no more time. Kenneth came only just in fourth place, only 1 point behind Alfred Marks, who returned to do extremely well against these three tough competitors. He came only 3 points behind Clement Freud. But Clement Freud, this time, finished up 2 points behind this week's winner with that last flourish, Peter Jones. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and want to tune in again at the same time next week. And once again, we will take to the air and play this impossible game of Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.